Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
This morning I spoke with the Minister for the last time, and we started by discussing Todd Miller's resignation and Judith Collins' appointment as National Party leader before touching on some of the things Martin is most proud of during this government term and what she wants to work more on.
Oh, well, I mean, I texted Judith last night just to say, you know, congratulations. I mean, it's been a long time coming. This is what we do, I suppose. This is my life, really. So we'd sort of started a bit of a sweepstake, myself and a couple of others, early in the morning. And Judith was, I had my money on Judith. I think it's the obvious choice. There's a lack of discipline in the National Party caucus. And, you know, you could see that over the last couple of years, actually. So, you know, Judith and Jerry should be able to pull it together. You know, because that's just their style. So I'm sure they'll put the fear of God into anybody inside that caucus that thinks that they're going to go and do something without the leader knowing.
Right.
So and it'll it certainly has changed the game. I don't think there's any way you could deny that it has changed the game.
Yeah.
A totally different leadership team.
Do you have concerns for how this might affect New Zealand First's chance in the election?
I don't spend my time worrying about what other people are doing, and therefore how is it, you know, how should I change to counter that? And that might mean I'm not a very good politician, but I basically just still believe what I believe. I'm still writing the policies that I write because I believe they're the best for my country, and then put them out in front of the people. I won't change the way how I am.
Right.
So not really.
But if it changes the game, what does that mean in terms of changing the game for you guys?
Well, I think we'll see a change in the polls, so that's the first thing. So, and I think that's, you know, that's between the two majors, so that's going to be between Labor and National. I do think we're going to see a change in the polls. From a New Zealand First perspective, our view is we're still needed to moderate both. We've seen what National has done previously when we've entered into a major sort of economic crisis, and that has been to retrench and not invest and cut back and all those other sort of things. So, you know, New Zealand First still, in our view, obviously still needs to be at the table, both with whether it's Labor or National, who are the major parties sitting there.
Yeah, would you be open to a coalition with National?
Well, I mean, I've worked with Judith before. It's the same thing that I talked about with Todd. So I worked with Judith on, she was out of favour for a period of time, and she was on the Education and Science Select Committee with myself and Chris Hipkins and Catherine Delahunty. And it was actually Judith's vote that meant that we got the inquiry into dyslexia, dyspraxia and children on the autism spectrum. And that's the work that I've been doing in my associate ed portfolio. So if it hadn't been for Judith, we wouldn't have got that inquiry. And I've helped Judith in this role in the last 3 years. Judith has a real soft spot for those with disabilities, and so I've helped Judith and some of her constituents get the appropriate supports for their children. So, yeah, I work with most people just fine. Do you know what I mean?
In terms of going back to the reason that Judith is now there at all, you've got lots of people praising Todd Miller for stepping down as he saw fit, you know, in terms of his own well-being and his family's well-being. Do you think that he underestimated the role in the beginning?
I think lots of people underestimate the role. You really, really, really do have to ask yourself why you would want to be the leader of a political party. Because now you're no longer answering just for your own actions. Every single person behind you, and the larger your caucus is, the greater the number of people who every action that they take, you can be held accountable for. So, I mean, I think what was obvious over the weekend was that members of the National Party caucus were doing their own thing and they did not let the leader know what was going on.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, I just know from, well, it's just sort of a cardinal rule of mine that whether it's good news or bad news, if something comes up and I'm, you know, some action of mine is going to cause a problem or it's really good news, then I need to ring Winston and let him know before anybody else knows.
Right.
Because he's going to be answerable for it, because he's the leader of New Zealand First.
Mm. He sort of didn't have that answer right at the beginning, though, either, and it wasn't just this weekend.
No.
You know, people were asking, why are you the person to be in this role? And he didn't have an answer. What do you think, you know, is required to be a politician?
Oh, to be a politician? Well, you know, this place should be a representation of New Zealand, so therefore there needs to be a variety of people that are inside this place from a variety of backgrounds. So that's the first thing. But ultimately, you have to have a level, and it depends what you want to call it. You have to have a level of confidence or a level of arrogance. So it depends which you want to call it, to be able to survive. You have to have enough confidence, and you could see it in Judith and Jerry. They've been around a long time. That you can just answer a question and own it. Todd was, right from the first moment, they misunderstood what was going to be the question. He had a lot of answers about taking the leadership, but he actually didn't have a lot of answers about, so now what? So what next? You know, what's the plan? I'm fairly confident that Judith and Jerry are right this minute getting their head around, actually, this is our plan. And we'll be able to articulate it in very, easy to understand language.
Mm. Is there a level of overconfidence there, though, in terms of even taking the role? He rolled somebody to get it.
Yeah. I mean, his caucus voted him in. So at that stage, I don't know what happened there. And obviously something, the toll that it's taken on him personally must be quite extreme for him to need to do this, because this is not a small thing in the life of a politician. This is not a small thing in the life of anybody. I think one can't underestimate the pressure of the public gaze and not just on us, but also on our spouses and our parents. I mean, my mum reads everything that is written about me. And my children read everything that is written about me. So, there's quite a lot of pressure that it puts on them, and they didn't necessarily ask to be in this limelight or to be in this position. We individuals made that decision, and they actually have to cop a certain amount of it.
Hmm. All right, well, let's move into, we did sort of touch on these things a bit last week, but in the sense of this kind of government term as a whole, give us maybe your top three, your kind of, three key policies perhaps, or major changes or things that you felt you've contributed to, or New Zealand First has contributed to, that you feel has positively benefited this country.
Okay. So probably the first thing to actually identify is that absolutely nothing has happened during this term of government that New Zealand First has not been part of. So there's not a single thing that has happened that we haven't been part of. Because I think there is a really interesting, an interesting desire by certain members of the media or certain members of the public to paint New Zealand First as an anchor to everything. And the reality is, nothing would have happened if we hadn't agreed to it. And actually, we wouldn't have the government we have if we hadn't formed it. So that's the first thing. So whether it be, increases to social welfare payments, whether it be doubling of the winter energy payment, whether it be bringing in the Best Start payment, whether it be investing in jobs and training, the review of vocational education, the provincial growth fund, nothing would have happened if we hadn't agreed with it. And that goes the same for Labor and the Greens, right? Let's just be aware of that. If I was going to talk, I want to talk in my actual portfolio. So what am I really proud of, and what have I left behind, and what I hope continues in seniors, for example, is the Better Later Life strategy, and actually getting government departments to recognise that seniors exist, that people don't just vanish over the age of 65. Are we there yet? No. I mean, the Ministry of Social Development feels no responsibility for assisting seniors to address their employment needs over the age of 65. because everybody thinks they're retired, yet we have no retirement age in this country. The Ministry for Housing is not really concentrating on seniors' housing. So I've raised that profile over the last 3 years, but whoever sits in this seat afterwards needs to keep on that pathway and make sure that all government departments see seniors, 1.2 million of them by 2034. If I was talking about associate education, then the learning support coordinators and the learning support delivery model has changed the game. Whoever sits in this seat afterwards needs to use the first 623 learning support coordinators to perfect the job description and the learning support delivery model, to continue to deliver Te Rito, which is the standardisation of a learning needs register across New Zealand, so that we can develop workforce planning. And they need to roll out the last tranche of learning support coordinators to every other school. There should only be one more tranche, and it should cover every other school in New Zealand of learning support coordinators. And I'm proud of saving Salisbury. I'm proud of saving Salisbury and Westbridge and Hallswell. And before I go, I hope to put in some supports for Hohepa. With Oranga Tamariki, we have turned the boat, and I'm actually just pulling data together now to prove that before I get out of this seat. So we have turned the organisation around from a child crisis organisation to a child protection organisation. We are lowering the numbers of children in care, particularly Māori children. We are working more closely and devolving power and resources to iwi and Māori organisations to actually look after their own children. And we've had that funding for a year, and we have managed to make incredible strides in 1 year. So I need to get it as entrenched as possible, that pathway, because it's the only way we will change what is the child protection service in this country, is to devolve and actually have the community with us, so that more are stepping up earlier for children and families, so that they don't end up coming into the care of the state. So I'm entrenching that as much as I can, so that whoever sits in the seat after me can continue on that pathway. You have to be pretty brave to take this seat, because when it's all going well, nobody hears anything about Oranga Tamariki. When people want to throw stones or whatever, then you're all over the paper. Mm. So, and at the end of the day, there's still children in hospital, and children being killed, and families that need support. So. So from that perspective, and from internal affairs, I'm saddened that I haven't been able to get the pornography work further along the track, but I'm proud to have got some of the National Library and Alexander Turnbull Library and Archives in a much more positive position than they were than when I came in. They were devalued by the previous administration. Internal Affairs is the most amazing portfolio, because it covers such a diverse series of, public servants, really. And Fire and Emergency New Zealand is still on a pathway. But mostly I'm pleased that I've managed to get some recognition for the National Library and Archives.
If you, in terms of getting another term and whatever portfolio it might be, what would you really want to work on over the next 3 years? Like, what's one key thing? You have identified some of the things that you want to continue, but even if it was something new, or what do you see our biggest kind of issue that you would want to focus on for the next 3 years?
So, there's not one of my portfolios I would drop, because, you get invested in the work that you're doing. But there is, if I came back and I wanted to make the largest difference to children, young people and families in New Zealand, then I would actually ask to lead the Family Violence and Sexual Violence Joint Venture. Because family violence, of the children in Oranga Tamariki's care, 95 to 97% of them are victims of family violence. Family violence is a scourge on our country, and we are not dealing with it appropriately. We're investing at the wrong end. We're investing once there are victims, and we need to be working much more at the front of this conversation. So So, yeah, if you could wave your wand and do one thing which would have a massive domino effect for this nation, it would be to address family violence and sexual violence.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.